that recordings are started.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GACS-GNSO Consultation Group meeting on the 10th of June, 2014. On the call today, we have Manal Ismail, Jonathan Robinson, Suzanne Waddell. We have apologies from Anna Neves, Avi Doyer, Mark Corvell. And from staff, we have Monika Koenigs, Olaf Nordland, Gwenda Saint-Giry, and myself, Marco Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Manal.
Thank you, Natalie. We have three agenda items, and I do apologize for the late sending of the agenda, but I hope, Suzanne, you had the chance to have a look at the agenda. And if you don't have any comments on the agenda, we can start immediately with the first agenda item.
Sure. Let's just do that, Manal. Thank you.
Okay. So the first agenda item, which is related to the work of the work track one, is the document that states the draft requirements and proposed selection process for the GNSO liaison to the GAC. Of course, we have to adopt the whole thing, but I think most importantly, we have to agree on the listed responsibilities of the liaison, as well as the, how this would work in practice in terms of the GNSO liaison attending GAC meetings, conference calls, working groups, and so on. So, I'm not sure if you had the chance to go through the document, and I would welcome any comments or feedback from your side, if you have any. Again, I'm sure this would still need to be approved and adopted by our constituencies, the GAC and the GNSO, but as we agreed, we have to share with them something that we already agree upon. So.
This is all I'm for now.
Okay, welcome, Olaf.
Thank you.
Manal, this is Suzanne.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please.
I think it looks quite good. It's very comprehensive, and yet it's also very concise. And I think it lays out the details of what the working group has considered and believes to be appropriate. So I think you're quite right. We need to get it out there and start the dialogue and see what people have to say. So I think it's ready to go.
Okay, perfect. Because I already wrote the five bullets that has to do with how the liaison would be attending the GAC meetings. And I'm not sure if this already goes along the thinking of other GAC colleagues on the consultation group. I'm sure we won't be able to finalize on this call because it's only yourself, Jonathan, and me, so maybe we will give a chance for other comments and feedback probably by Friday, if this sounds reasonable. And I think afterwards we can, I'm not sure, do you think we should be sharing this with the GAC, or should we just rely that there is already a link to this document included in the briefing notes?
If I may, Suzanne, again, for the transcripts?
Yes, please.
You know, one thing I'm very hesitant about, because I think we all know this is a challenge, is both of our constituencies kind of being overwhelmed with work at the moment and with paper. And quite candidly, my impression, and it's just one person here, so please disabuse me if you think I'm overreacting. I think the IANA transition and accountability processes are becoming, if they haven't become already, the very highest priorities for many, many parts of the ICANN community for London. And then as we work down the chain, obviously, those of us as who are members of this working group assign a very high priority to this. I'm very glad we have the time allocated, and I think perhaps if we can send out, get links into the GAC agenda to these documents, people have the opportunity to read them in advance or to pull them up as we get to this agenda item, because I think there is so much coming into the GAC. So we have the working method documentation coming from Spain. We have transition. We have accountability. We've got the GeoNames group. We have the CCNSO meeting. I mean, there just seems to be an awful lot. So perhaps if we worked it into the agenda as a link, those who have the time and the interest can read in advance. Those who don't can read as we have our meeting. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it's fair enough, and we already have the link to this in the briefing note that I've already circulated, and I think is going to be within the material for our coming meeting. I fully agree with you. There is already a lot on our plate, so and. We can get into those details during the discussion itself. So.
Right.
Manav, Jonathan, just a couple of quick thoughts.
Yes, please.
Thanks. I agree with you and Suzanne. We need to get this out. I think we need to tell the group that we will send it on Friday. It needs to go out sooner rather than later. We won't wait till Friday to have comments, but I think it needs to go out on Friday. I think one thing we should do is make sure we put a full watermark across it saying it's draft. So before that goes out, we should have a draft on it, regardless of where the final draft comes from, you or me. Either of us should. It's a very simple function to put that in, and probably in PDF form, just to make sure it's not, well, I don't know about that, but certainly with a draft across it. So it's clear that there is scope for input. Certainly, my expectation is that the GAC may well want to have input, at least discuss this whole issue of attending meetings, closed meetings, and all the rest of it. Then they work for the GNSO feedback in relation to this. So I think we've probably taken it, I agree with Suzanne, I think we've probably taken it as far as we can within the group, and I feel pretty confident about getting it out. I mean, clearly, I also worry about the volume of work, that's a big deal, and the potential dominance of transition and accountability and other issues. If it's possible to get a direct link to it on the GAC agenda, or at least a direct link to the briefing note, which then of course links to this, that may be a neat way of doing it. But certainly I agree with Suzanne's principle that direct links to any materials, whether it's the briefing note, the presentation, and possibly this as well, would be very useful. So that's I guess my 2 cents worth on that. It's largely
okay, thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. So I think we are all in agreement. So we will be waiting for further comments on this document till Friday, and then we can adopt this draft to be directly linked through the GAC agenda and other reference material in PDF format. So I think we can now move to our second agenda item, which has to do with the PDP work track. I'm a bit confused here as to whether we have reached a concrete proposal for how to get the GAC early engaged within the PDP, the GNSO PDP process. I mean, we have discussed this and we agreed on the importance of early engagement as early as phases 1 and 2, as early as the issues, issue scoping and issue report. I'm missing the concrete proposal that we are taking back to the GAC and the GNSO. And I think the diagrams that Marika provided are very thorough and very detailed and would help us suggest something concrete. And I also was guided by your comments, Suzanne, in reducing things to the GNSO graph and having circles to indicate the phases and the stages. And this is what I was trying to do with Jonathan when we were compiling the slides for London. But having said that, I would like to hear from you how you would like to have this presented in the slides, or at least first as we are speaking about the document, in the document at the first stage, and then we can see how to present it in the slides. So, Suzanne?
Yes, thank you, Manal. Suzanne here for the transcript. I do think that we have, unfortunately, not been able to spend as much time together on this, and so my apologies for that. Amr and I continue to struggle with being able to connect with each other. So I'd like to put something out on this call, and then I'm happy to follow up, Manal, with a more extensive suggestion/proposal, if you will. I think...
Yes.
The idea of presenting just the first two steps is a good one because, again, I'm concerned about how much material our colleagues can digest. I think if we try to present the entire package, it will seem a bit overwhelming. And that's just, again, one person's view. So I would like to focus to have the chart that shows the entire, you know, every circle, do a red dotted line around the first two. Issue scoping, issue report, because we have an explicit, we've agreed to do something quite explicit, which is to survey GAC members as to whether the briefing materials that are currently available, the methodology that is currently used, is helpful, sufficient, triggers what needs to be triggered for the GAC to actually pay attention to issue scoping and preliminary issue reports. I think you and I and Jonathan and everybody would seem to know it doesn't appear to be because it's not triggering GAC comments on preliminary issue reports. So I think we should start with that and maybe leave it at that for the moment because I think your slide does an excellent job of indicating we are looking at all phases, right? As a working group, but right now for this meeting, we're concentrating on the first two steps. So I wonder, that's my first proposal, would others on this group, and I can put this out to the group in an email, would others agree that for purposes of presentation in London, we show the entire chart of all the circles, and we indicate that we're at the beginning stages. This is what we're concentrating on now because we have a survey and because we think it's important to establish on the GAC side what does it take to make sure the GAC is prepared to comment on a preliminary issue report. And on the GNSO side, I may have to work on the issues questions section. If I could maybe take a crack at merging somehow what's in there now, which is a combination of comments and questions from several of us, and maybe get established more clearly on the GNSO side, if we need to give GAC more time, a larger window, is that problematic for the GNSO? I confess I don't know. You have some, you know, quite discreet rules that guide you as you start this process. So I guess that's what I would like to understand from you and Jonathan, at least on this call. Does that make sense to not hit people with the whole chart, but to chop it up so that we focus on the first two steps in London. Why don't I pause here and give you both a chance to consider this.
Now, Suzanne, if I may?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I
can see Marika's hand. But
okay, yeah. So I'll think that Marika may have words of wisdom as well. But a couple of thoughts. One, Suzanne, as you articulate, that's very sensible, very pragmatic. It's a bite-sized chunk. It makes sense. It also makes sense because, as we discussed, our primary focus is on how to encourage GAC early engagement. This is early, and these are the early phases, which is why, not only in terms of sequencing through the PDP process, but also in terms of where we should be concentrating our efforts, it makes sense.
Jonathan, if I may, can you please raise your voice? Can you please raise your voice a bit?
Yeah, no problem. I'll do that. No problem. Is that any better now?
Yes, much better.
Great. All right. Okay. Great. I'll put the microphone to my mouth. What else is there? So there's that early involvement. There's that communication of the first couple of steps. I'm very reluctant to. I think one of the things is which is a problem we've still got to grapple with is what is the impact of GAC involvement at those points, and Suzanne touches on it a little bit, one of which is what is the impact of time. Now, one of the key things we're facing in the GNSO is other pressures, not only the pressure to effectively engage the GAC, but also to make the PDP appear to perform efficiently. So that's a major other external pressure. GNSO doesn't do its work fast enough. So to the extent that we take time to listen and absorb or wait for the GAC to come to its position, there's another competing pressure there. So that's an important point we'll all have to bear in mind. And there was one other one which I've lost my train of thought. I'll come back to unless Marika picks up. So let me hold off there, let Marika come back, and I'll try and remember if there was the other point that we made. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Marika, please go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. So this is Marika. Two points. I think the first is that, as I noted before, we've actually updated the graphic, so they now match as well the color code that ICANN is using, and also using the term initiation for the second phase, which is more, I think, more appropriate, reflects what actually happens in that phase. So I'll share those with Manal and Jonathan, so those can be included in the presentation. To Suzanne's point on GAC involvement in the first phase of issue scoping, and I think it's something I tried to point out as well on the email, is that in that part of the process, it is really input that is then basically sent to staff, who incorporates that as part of the preliminary issue report. So I think it's well very important as should we go into further detailed discussions on how GAC involvement may look at that stage. I think it's very important as well to point out what actually happens in that phase, because it's not necessarily that feedback is directly to the GNSO, but that first public comment period is intended to provide input on the preliminary issue report, mainly looking from the aspect of the scoping. Is all information that is relevant to the issue included in the issue report, or is there anything missing that a PDP working group would need in order to examine the issue, and also potential advice to the GNSO Council on whether or not to initiate a PDP on the topic. And I guess that may be an area where the GAC may have a specific view that it would want to share with the GNSO Council at that stage. So I think it's important indeed to distinguish try to focus on what the exact objective of that current public comment period is, and I guess that may lead to discussions as well on whether that's sufficient or whether anything else should be envisioned, and as Jonathan mentioned as well, what impact that may have on the timing perspective. Because I think from the one side, at least from a staff perspective, usually when people ask us for more time to provide public comments, we do provide that, especially if from groups where we know it's important to include that in the report. So I think from that aspect, it wouldn't be an issue. But of course, it would be good to know if that indeed is forthcoming and not necessarily holds up the process well at the end of the day, then still nothing is being provided. So I think that's where indeed we need to balance the need for input and sometimes allowing for additional time. But again, I think, and that's something I chatted briefly about with all of them, we spoke about this issue, something the GAG may want to consider is looking at a way of a kind of maybe standardized responses at that stage of the process where you could, for example, say, well, we looked at this issue, at first sight, we believe there's no public policy implication or anything we want to highlight at this stage. However, this doesn't take away our right to do so at a later stage or give you more information at a later part in the process. But at least I think would give a flag of, okay, we can at least move ahead. And I guess another answer could be, well, we actually do believe there's certain implications, so we do need more time. We may not be able to complete that within the time frame you've set for that first step, so you may want to decide to wait for that or not. But again, I think it's a kind of, we may be able to look at different ways in which the GAC could raise flags that may fit within the time frame of both, I think, GNSO context as well as a GAC time frames, hopefully. So that may be something further to consider. And I think then similarly, if indeed the chart was helpful that I did, the more detailed chart on pointing out what are the different steps, I could do similarly for the initiation phase, so it becomes clearer as well what the current roles of the different parties involved in the PDP are, and that may facilitate further discussions on where the GAC would fit in or needs to fit in or could fit in either in the current model or whether other mechanisms would need to be explored.
Thank you, Marika. And yes, I definitely feel the detailed diagram was extremely helpful and would be helpful to have one for the following phase. And before giving the floor to Suzanne, I would also like to... I had a quick comment and a direct question exactly to what you have mentioned, Marika. I think, Suzanne, we have... We had an initial agreement to focus on the first two phases, which is the issue scoping and the issue report. So I think you can consider this agreed and we can proceed accordingly. I'm not sure if you want us to remove the whole diagram and only focus on those two phases, or have the bigger view and just have, like you mentioned, a dotted red box around the phases we are focusing on. On the question I had, I noticed that the early phase we're talking about is mainly accomplished by the staff. And I was going to question, how are we going to involve the GAC that early? It seems to me that the earliest opportunity for the GAC to give input is when the issue is being put for public comment. Or am I mistaken? I'm not sure. So, Suzanne, if you can kindly wait for Marika if she has a direct response to this, because I think this would help our discussion forward, and then I'd give you the floor immediately.
Sure.
Marika, please. Okay, thank you, Suzanne.
Yeah, this is Marika. So, indeed, well, the earliest response or earliest input the GAC could or can have in the current process is actually requesting an issue report yourselves. As you know, there's a mechanism for advisory committees to request issue reports as a first stage in a PDP. It's something that I think until now only the AIOC has actually availed themselves of, but that is also an avenue that's open to the GAC. If you believe there's a certain issue that should be addressed through policy that is not being handled currently by the GNSO, that would be a mechanism that you could use. But indeed, as part of, if an issue is either initiated by the GNSO or the board or another advisory committee, the first current existing opportunity to provide public input is indeed through that public comment forum on the preliminary issue report. Although it may be important to note as well that, of course, as staff gathers information on the issue, we will also look at statements or opinions or advice that other groups may have put out on that topic, and would definitely include that as well in an issue report. So should the GAC have a specific opinion on a certain topic and that is publicly available, that is the kind of information we would definitely try to include, or if we've missed it, that's what we would hope as well that the GAC would point out to us and say, please make sure that that is included in your report as it's finalized.
Thank you, Marika. Susan, you've been waiting patiently. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, please.
No worries, Manal. Thank you, Suzanne, for the transcript, and thank you, Marika. Actually, I think this has been rather helpful. I have struggled a little bit on the request for the issues report because you are quite correct, Marika, to point out that it is a tool that is equally available to the GAC. Historically, of course, the GAC has never availed itself of this tool, and I'm not entirely sure what would prompt the GAC to do so. So perhaps what we do with this particular part of the slide is to indicate that it's a mechanism open to anybody. It is typically used or has been typically used, and this is where I would recommend we make some changes to the current method for seeking input piece to indicate historically, if it is possible, can the staff tell us how many of these requests are GNSO self-generated and how many generated by outside sources, whether the board or ALAC? It would just be good for people to know historically, this has been the trend. This is the practice. And I completely take your point, Manal, that perhaps we are not understanding that when this occurs, all of the work is undertaken by staff. And maybe, as Marika, I think, sort of was hinting, is there a way we can kind of have some sort of a review mechanism that simply indicates, without getting into any detail, whether the GAC thinks there is or could be a public policy aspect or not? That's all. A simple, if it's, for example, sometimes some of the very nitty-gritty business of, communications between registries and registrars, that may be very straightforward business operation that really is of no interest or the GAC certainly couldn't add very much value. If it's a more obvious sort of policy issue such as the IGO, INGO, well then clearly the GAC would say, well actually, yeah, there's a public policy aspect because we've got advice on this subject. And maybe all we would have needed to have done then at that point is to confirm that the staff was well aware and it was being taken into account in the preliminary issue report. So I kind of take from what we're saying here, this very first step, maybe we sort of presented as more of a pro forma, and that's not where we want to energize the GAC per se. It's the real first step, as you said, Manal, is perhaps the preliminary issue report. Why don't I pause here and make sure that I'm hearing what people are saying? And I did want Jonathan to know I could not agree with you more, and I like the idea of, while we need to increase or facilitate GAC engagement, you all need to become more efficient. So we've got to make sure that we are aware of these countervailing pressures and that we're striking the right balance. And I think we should say so to our respective communities, that this is going to be challenging because we have to honor and respect these different objectives.
Manal, can you put me in the queue when you get a moment, please?
Yes. Thank you, Suzanne. We've got Marika. Marika's hand up, and then I'll give you the floor, Jonathan. Marika, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just very briefly in response to Suzanne, and maybe to clarify, because the issue scoping phase does include the preliminary issue report and delivery of the final issue report, and hence as well why we've updated the headings now, because having the second phase as issue report was a little bit confusing, because what it actually does, or what the second phase actually is the vote on the final issue report. So we've decided to change that now to initiation because that's probably more appropriately captures what happens there. If the council then votes on whether or not to initiate a PDP based on the information in the final issue report, as well as, you know, the formation or adoption of a drafting team to develop a charter or the adoption of a charter, which really marks the commencement of the work. So the actual, what we're talking about currently, the issue scoping phase, does contain, you know, the public comment on the preliminary issue report. So just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Marika. Jonathan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. A few points. I feel like we're sort of converging in a relatively common place here, which is good. I think you asked a question about whether we retain the overview diagram, and in my opinion, and I think where we're headed is that we should retain that, the comprehensive diagram, but then, as Suzanne indicated, we can put some red dotted line or some other way of homing in on the two phases that we are concentrating on. To that extent, Marika offered to potentially, I think, do some improvement on the second phase in the same way as she's done on the first in terms of expressing it as clearly as possible. So I think that's desirable and would be good. I would like to check with you, Manal, and Suzanne to some extent. I mean, clearly one of the other issues is, and this is partly covered by the survey, it's partly covered by our presentation, is both making the GAC as aware as possible of existing options, and indeed even taking it a step further, there is an element where this isn't all about the GNSO modifying and improving its processes. It's partly about the GAC responding or thinking about its processes so that it is better able to effectively engage. So I don't know how delicate that message is, and I know there's got to be a willingness to adapt and change, but I think we've got to try and get the message across that it's got to go both ways, so there's a sort of meeting in the middle. And one thought I have on that, which I think I heard Marika suggest earlier, is in effect a form of multiple choice type question. So rather than just these kind of, maybe this is more about the pragmatics of the working, but rather than just these bulletins going out saying this work's begun or this issue report, it's maybe even breaking it down into, and these are the five options you have right now, please respond with one of them. Give more detail, whatever they might be. So that may help, that may be just as a simple tool. Anyway, I'll stop there, but I feel like we're getting somewhere, we've got a couple of challenging communication points in all of this as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. And let me try to make sure I've got everyone's input here. I think we have more like, if we break down the issue, we have more like four category of problems. The first one is to make sure the GAC knows all the available mechanisms. The second one is to have some initial response from the GAC as to whether the GAC intends to provide input and is concerned with the issue or not. The third thing is how this, the consequences, Jonathan, as you mentioned earlier, once the GAC intends to provide input, how this would affect the overall process, what is the consequence of the GAC input, what if it doesn't go along the lines of the GNSO views, would it delay the overall process? I mean, I think all this goes into the consequences. And finally, this is in a best-case scenario where we are talking about just one PDP. Then finally we get into the load in general and what Suzanne mentioned about too many PDPs running in parallel and how would this fit into the GAC agenda. And I can see Suzanne's hand up. So, Suzanne, please go ahead.
Thank you, Manal, and thank you, Jonathan. I think you're quite right. I couldn't agree with you more. We do need to stress that this is a meeting in the middle, right? It's both parties need to find ways to adjust. Manal, I like your overview. I think you're quite correct. If you were to go to the GNSO page today and you look at the current work projects, there are quite a few. And it can be a little bit daunting. So I think you're right. I like your idea of the very, very first step, the very first thing. We could fashion a questionnaire. When we get to the second step, I think this is where we are in the lucky situation of being able to marry this part of our work plan with the first part, which is the day-to-day stuff. So I think we need to perhaps, could we consider that the reason we stopped here is because it's already quite a lot for people to understand. It may not seem that much, but I think it is. I don't think people are very familiar with how the GNSO has done its work, particularly. So if we stop here, it's a way of saying, look, we need to do a reality check. So on the GNSO side, this is how things work. This is what we've been motivated by. We're eager to work with you. But now we need to understand, what are your work methods, Gat? And so when we say, well, you know, we're floundering or we're overwhelmed, then this is where I think we can call upon the new experiment of a GNSO liaison to the GAC. Is this a time if the GAC can signal that, well, yeah, we think this is really important. So, for example, anything related to who is, right? You're going to get an automatic government response that says, whoa, you know, I know there are public policy issues there, a lot of them. Is that where we could consider saying, so let's use our experiment of the liaison and maybe we organize a conference call or, you know, we have a dialogue so that there's some exchange instead of a sterile, you know what I'm saying, is the GAC going to ever do anything and when can we expect it? Some kind of a dialogue that maybe socializes the issues or sensitizes things. So I'm trying to think, it's not anywhere reflected directly on the PDP chart, but I think it's kind of implicit.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's hard to do it when it's not on the Adobe, but I just wanted to agree with you. I think you're absolutely right, and I think this is a very potentially effective way of using the liaison, and in a way, you know, you're right. There are 10 or 12 or 15 GNSO work tracks, but it's possible that with some effective dialogue, those are reduced down to 3 of interest or whatever, some limited number, and while at face value, it seems intimidating or overwhelming, with the right kind of engagement, it may be broken down into a much easier fight. So I apologize for jumping in, but I just wanted to mostly just agree with you and give you the support. I think you're in the right place there, and I think absolutely we've got enough to try and gather together with the work we've done so far. And if we can tidy that up and present that effectively, we'll be in a good place, I think.
Thank you for that. I'm grateful because I do think that kind of shows that we're trying our best to be very practical here.
Okay, I think this is extremely helpful discussion. So I can see Marika's hand and then Olof. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. And so also looking at this weekend, indeed, you know, I think the public comment on the preliminary issue report could be a mechanism indeed to flag to the GAC that this is an issue that, you know, the GNSO is planning to undertake work on, either because it's initiated the work itself or the board has asked for it or another advisory committee. And as I said, maybe a kind of, as Olof has termed it, a quick look input at that stage, I think would already be helpful from a GNSO perspective just to know whether, you know, this may be an issue where the GAC has broader interest, and you know, we'll definitely need to keep an eye open for when or if further input is received, or make sure as well that we engage on the topic on a regular basis, or you know that maybe there's no immediate interest and there may be less need. But at the same time, I think that could then also serve for the GAC as a trigger mechanism to start further work on it, because you know the next real opportunity to provide input is, you know, once the council then decides to initiate the PDP, is for, you know, when the working group commences, to actually reach out to all the SOs and ACs and ask for their opinions on the topic. So I think that's really where, you know, at least from a working group perspective, they will be looking to the GAC and say, okay, at that stage, we really would love to hear then, you know, what the GAC view is on this topic. You know, what is the kind of data or information that is available? You know, what are the kind of recommendations that, the GAC is thinking of? So that can be used as early input in the working group deliberations, you know, together with other input that is received from SOs and ACs, and as well accordingly addressed, so that, you know, either, you know, it is incorporated and accepted, or if there is disagreement, that a response is provided or a rationale is provided to the GAC why, you know, the working group decides to go in a different direction, so that it can be part of the dialogue. So I think it's a, you know, at the end of the day, I think we're looking here at a continuum of ensuring early engagement and coordination and dialogue to make sure that, indeed, as I said, you know, both parties can work with that, you know, within the boundaries of how we currently work and our working methods.
Thank you, Marika. Olof, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Well, continuing along those thoughts, I believe that we should also start considering.
Olof, can you please raise your voice a bit?
Okay. Do you hear me now? Hello.
Yes, this is better.
Okay.
This is better.
That, and I try to adjust it. But continuing along those thoughts, when we come into the GAC's handling of matters, I think we should, well, that may not be the remit of this particular consultation group, but one should consider whether there is a need for additional tools and processes within the GAC, for example, to have a triage committee in order to prioritize incoming matters to the GAC, which could then undertake this so-called quick look and come back with an early response. This is, well, something that the GAC is not likely to be very, very concerned about, or vice versa. This is something high profile from a GAC perspective to make that kind of judgment. And we don't have any such tool, really, today. Another aspect would be to develop rapporteurships and team leads, which is used to a certain extent within the GAC. But just a few thoughts that, well, whatever we come up with here would need to be reflected in perhaps some kind of additional structures within the GAC as well.
Thank you, Olof. And yes, I fully agree that we need internally within the GAC some mechanism to have this quickly looked into and decided. And I think this could also help us when we receive the monthly engagement one-page summary that we also receive, but again, there is no mechanism within the GAC to have this looked into and decided whether it is of interest to the GAC or not. Suzanne, go ahead.
Thank you. Suzanne here for the transcripts. Actually, Olof, I think you're raising a very good point, and it rather goes to Jonathan's point about needing to meet in the middle. I think this is a very important message, Manal, that you and I and Anna and our other colleagues on this working group can convey to the GAC. Way back when I first started, the GAC used to have a multitude of working groups, and they were eventually became sort of the point people for the GNSO and for the CCNSO and for the RSAC and the SSAC. And they actually started as working groups. We eventually dropped that, as you know, because it was seen as some kind of a GAC liaison with some misunderstanding as to the role of that GAC person. And also, quite candidly, having been the GNSO liaison, it was overwhelming because I had no staff support at all. So we do need to be mindful of that, and this is something that I can be thinking about as well, how to increase the support on the GAC side. Because members, just like the GNSO community, everybody has a day job. in their government, and everybody has, you know, different kind of portfolio and different obligations during the day. So I think right now we have rather, you know, some good initiatives underway, but we need to perhaps complement the existing working groups with a larger number, drawing in more GAC members, but perhaps drawing on more ICANN support. So I do think it's an excellent idea. And since we do have a GAC working methods working group and the BGRI, I think we can surface these proposals, at least surface them in London. If we don't reach complete agreement, I think it's a good way to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. And yes, definitely we need to take note of those suggestions and bring them up in our discussions in London. So I think we have a little bit more than 5 minutes, and I think this discussion was extremely helpful for the PDP work track, and would also help us come up with the slides for London. So, Suzanne, have you had a look on the slides, and how would you like us to proceed with the part on the PDP, or whether you would like to provide comments on the overall thing, the slides on other parts as well? Go ahead, Suzanne.
I thought everything looked very good, and I obviously know that Amr and I need to try to get together if we can. If not, we should do this separately to weigh in, to add a little bit of meat to the slide, and I would look to Marika and Olaf to perhaps help. But just in the very near term, I see from the notes that Marika plans to revise the slides for you and Jonathan. I wonder if I could also look at those revisions very quickly at the outset as well, because we need to. I'd like to help feed into the presentation and to the slides, and I'm more than prepared to talk to this issue if that would be helpful to you and Jonathan during the London meeting.
Okay, I think we also had two concrete suggestions from Anna over email, and those were her comments. She commented that option E is not elaborated on the presentation, and having a second look on the presentation, I really found that when we mentioned option we immediately got into the survey and did not describe what this option was meant to tackle. So maybe we need one slide to describe option E before getting into the survey. The other point she raised was that option is complementary to option A. She was making sure that option F is complementary to option A and not a standalone option, which I responded affirmatively, but I think maybe we need to mention this in our slides, that option F is complementary to option A. Option F is the GNSO PDP liaisons, council liaisons, and option A is the GNSO liaison to the GAC. So we are primarily talking about the GNSO liaison to the GAC, and the option F is going to be more of complementing and being more of a resource, a direct resource to the liaison. Marika, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a question based on your conversation we just had on the PDP track, and I think it's a question part as well, probably for Suzanne. Do you think at this stage it would be helpful, to be, you know, including the new graphic and you know, clearly marking, you know, which is currently the focus of our conversation, and maybe just calling out and clearly marking them as ideas, some of the things we spoke about now, this kind of, you know, the quick look, the, you know, triage, the, you know, making sure as well, seeing it as a continuum. Is it helpful to just, you know, briefly have some bullets on that may, you know, at least get people thinking, or at least give a kind of heads up in which direction we're currently thinking, even though those are not firm recommendations yet? Or do you prefer just not to mention anything at this stage and only, you know, talk about the phases we're focusing on for now and come back to, you know, more concrete ideas at a later stage?
I personally think that we should be sharing those ideas, but I can see Suzanne's hand up, so I'll definitely defer to her. Suzanne, go ahead.
Thank you, Manal. Suzanne here, and thank you, Marika. No, I do think I like your idea. I think we should put some bullets in. If you and Olaf would be willing to do that in draft so that we can then work together very quickly over the next week. So if I could impose on you, let me thank you in advance for that idea. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I would like to see the revised PDP chart. I think it would be helpful that we can then kind of reach agreement fairly quickly as to what we're going to present and how. I have one teeny suggestion to you all. I've been meaning to say this before, and my apologies for being tardy. You know, we know what the letters and the options all mean because we've been looking at this material for quite some time. I don't think the broader communities are going to understand A, B, C, D, E, F, if I may say. I think we need to find some other way to represent those ideas or characterize them. I don't mean to sound like a stick. I just think we're going to lose people inadvertently over something as silly as A and F. So if you put yourself in the shoes of a person who is not tracking this work at all, and you get to the third or fourth slide, it says A, and that seems reasonable, and then the next one you see is F. I don't think that's going to make a lot of sense to people. So I think it's okay to talk about we've reviewed a series of options, and these are the ones we are presenting today, and just label them, I don't know. It's just a suggestion. I just think we run the risk of people saying, what are they talking about? Where's option B? Do you know what I mean?
Suzanne, it's Jonathan. I'm with you, and I'm sure we'll tidy that up. It's fine. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I think you make a very valid point, and I'm not concerned that we can't fix that. I fully agree with you. I don't even know which is E and F sometimes, so how anyone else is supposed to, I don't know. So I think we'll sort that out.
Yeah, this is minor. I mean, it's really minor. It's just a suggestion.
Thank you, Suzanne. Yeah, and like Jonathan, I fully agree with you, because sometimes even we ourselves forget which letter corresponds to which option. So I think we're almost at the hour, and I really believe this has been very, very, very helpful discussion, and we're verging somewhere here, so I'm very much appreciate this discussion. So if no one has any comments or there is no further requests for the floor, I think we may be concluding at this point. So
thank you.
Seeing none and hearing none, thank you, Suzanne, thank you. And thank you, Jonathan, very much for getting out of your way and dialing in while you're traveling. So, but this has been extremely helpful. And thanks to everyone.
No problem, and thanks to you all. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Marika. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Thanks very much, Sylvie. Now I'll stop the recordings.